Thank you, Tina. Thank you, everyone who did the announcements. The elders were on a retreat Friday to Saturday, and it was a really great time to get away. We took a look at a lot of different things that have big picture effects in the church, and so it was really great to spend that time, to get away and not be distracted and have extended time to deal with some of these issues, these topics, and the vision that really God gives us. And, you know, as we're looking at what they call the kind of like the summer slump where everybody kind of takes trips and things like that. So one of the things that I'm grateful for is the ability to stay connected. So if you have on your phone, on your smartphone, or on your internet, you can pick up our website at westoahuchristian.org. And you can get a lot of information over there, and you can get the latest sermon. It's uploaded, and that means you can listen to it at your will, anytime you want. I mean, those who missed the service, you guys can go listen to it, listen to the sermon, and stay in touch, stay connected that way. So we're trying to keep up and catch up, really, with the technology, and we're not as advanced as some other people, but we are making those steps, very intentional steps, and we're making progress. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And we have a lot of things that are coming up, and we're not only have the calendar on the website, we're planning on having a future calendar now, coming up. Of course, I guess the calendars are for the future, but we have plans that we want to do to help the leaders plan and organize our church ministries. So we have these kinds of things that we want to do, and we want to mobilize everyone. One of the things that we want to do and had intended on doing, really sometime this summer, but we're kind of into summer already, we got to catch up on this one, is to have a little workshop called Doing Church as a Team. And what that does is help everyone to know what their gifts are, to understand how the church works, how we can function together, and where we can fit and utilize our gifts. So many people come to church, and that's good. There's a certain level of devotion there. But taking the next step, how do I get involved? People are not really aware of how that can happen. So what we want to do is to make it easy for you to be able to get involved. And all of these things point to really, it's a convoy of mopeds out there. They point to part of our sermon today is, actually the sermon is about God's light inside and out. And when you have light, it's something that we can operate in. And the more light we have, the more ability we have to operate in it. I don't know about you, but it's pretty hard to work when it's dark. And if you ever had to drive without lights at any time, you ever had to drive without lights, that's really scary to do. And if you've ever had to try to read without lights, that's really hard to do. And so we all know what it's like to stub our foot on something when we're walking in the house, and because we didn't see it, because there's no light. So we need light. And so Jesus really brings us to a passage of scripture today in Luke chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. Just in catching us up where we are, so Jesus just completed driving out a demon from a man, and then engaging with certain religious leaders and explaining to them, once again, the problems that they have in understanding what their understanding of religion is about. So he talks about the strong man and the weak man and how it's important for us to have our faith strengthened. And he talks about the importance of faith in all of these things, that we need to trust the Lord through all of these things. We're going into a section of Scripture, a very short passage of Scripture, that speaks about light. And after this passage of Scripture, he's going to talk about some applications of this light. And so, really, this small section of Scripture is very important, and it's nestled between two larger stories, but it gives context to what we will be going into next week, which is, what are the problems of those who walk without light? It's going to be very, very specific, okay? So today it's more like an overview, why light is important, and what it can do in our lives. So as we begin, why don't we read our scripture for today? And if you have your Bible, you can open that up. I like to have my Bible there to just make notes, but you're free to open up, or, you know, as we say now there, click or swipe to open up to the scripture. Okay, let's read this, and let's begin with that quotation over there. Okay, ready, go. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. Okay, Father, thank you for these powerful words of Jesus. I pray that you would use this time to give us an ability to apply the things that Jesus is speaking about here. But first, let us understand what he's saying. So we give you this time, use it for your glory and to illuminate our own hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So here we're talking about light. Now, this is not the first time Jesus is talking about light. Neither will it be the last. And the apostles in their writing talk about light as well. Light is exceedingly important. From the very beginning of Genesis, which speaks about light, God said, let there be light, all the way to the end, where there will be no darkness. We will not live in darkness at all. This theme of light is important from beginning to end. And so we want to understand what Jesus is saying here in light of a metaphor, and that is, this is something that connects us to a way to understand what he's talking about. So light, he uses this physical analogy of physical light to point us to something spiritual. Physical light allows us to see things. And if we have a lamp, for instance, and we go into the room, we can see things. All these lights here shine and it allows us to see. And when we're in the light, it bathes us in the light. It goes all around us. Even if there's a single light source, it just kind of sprinkles around and it bounces off things and comes back. So even if we're on the dark side of, even if you look up in the sky, you can actually see the dark side of the moon, right? You can see the dark side of the moon because it bounces off the earth and it goes back and it reflects back to the dark side of the moon. But this light that comes here comes all over the place. So like physical light, like a physical lamp gives light to a room, Jesus' spiritual light goes into our spiritual eyes and enables our spirits to do God-guided things. God-guided things. Can you say that? God-guided things. And this is important because what we want to do is not just our own thing, but God's thing. So I want to begin here by asking, what are the blessings of God's light? What are the blessings of God's light? If you have your notes page, take that out. And the first blessing that we have of God's light is knowledge. The first blessing of God's light is knowledge. And as Jesus points out here, it begins with our eyes. It begins with our eyes. And the idea of this is we want to let good knowledge or good light in and keep bad knowledge or darkness out. Let good knowledge in, keep bad knowledge or darkness out. See, here's the thing. Jesus says, if your eyes are good, such and such is happening. If your eyes are bad, such and such is going to happen. So the idea of this is we can either let good things in or we can let bad things in. Proverbs 4:25-27 is a scripture that I really had to work on a lot as a young man. And that one says, let your eyes look straight ahead Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Where I found I had to use that a lot was when I was at the University of Hawaii. And there are all these attractive women walking around. You're there for education, right? You think you're there for education. But then there's all these attractive women walking around. And sometimes these attractive women are in the room right there with you, and your mind's on the professor, and your mind's going, hoot. And, you know, the mind, my eye of my mind is going, hoot. You know, I use this scripture to say, let your eyes look straight ahead. Let your eyes look straight ahead, Stan. Okay? And you walk by the campus center, and there's the game room. There's the game room, and there's a pool table in there. And there are these, you know, video games, right? My friend was a champion video game guy back in the day. It was that one, the centipede one. And he was written up in the Kaleo o Hawaii, the UH newsletter, as the champion guy. He spent all his time in the game room. I wonder, when did you ever have chance to study? Anyway, a lot of us had to spend extra years because of that. And maybe if we had this scripture a little earlier, we would have been able to keep our eyes straight ahead. But you know, there's this thing, there's other things that right now, nowadays, they say that pornography is available everywhere. And we get our smartphones, and it's available on your smartphone. No longer is the difficulty of getting pornography going to be a hindrance to you. Now you have to have your own self-discipline. You have to have your own inner compass, your own inner fortitude that's going to tell you, don't look at that stuff, stay on track. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Set your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the kind of thing we need to do. My granddaughter she likes skateboarding, and so her auntie gave her a skateboard, an old skateboard, a little broken up. I got some repair parts, fixed it up, and she's showing me these videos. You ever see those videos of those skateboarders that do all kinds of things, just amazing things? And I thought, wow, that's so astounding. How do you do all that stuff? And then she shows me this video of skateboard fails. Oh, and so I'm just watching it, and it's like, oh, you know, you see this thing, oh, yikes. And you think, oh, that kid's going to go to the doctor. And then we saw this one. Okay, so this guy comes off the steps, lands on the ground. He's falling down like this. Whoa, whoa, whoa. He ends up on the ground, and this left leg is over here like this. And he's sitting there, ah, oh. I'm wondering, I hope the ambulance comes fast for that guy. And this guy, another guy, he goes off the steps, he lands, just barely misses the iron bench, and then he kind of falls, just missing it, and he puts his hand down, and he falls down and flips over, and he says, I broke my hand. Oh, it's okay, that's one thing. And then they show the slow motion. You ever see the slow motion? You see things that you didn't see. Anyway, our wrist bends like this, right? And our bone over here is straight. Our bone is not supposed to bend here. I'm just going to leave it at that. And after about 10 minutes of watching this thing, I said, I can't watch this anymore. I went over to the computer. I turned it off. I paused the button. I said, I'm done. And then she comes over. My granddaughter comes over and says, did you stop it? I said, yes, I stopped it. I can't let bad stuff into my head. I gotta stop watching that. I could just imagine wake up in the night, you know, with all kinds of nightmares. Oh man, that was tough. But there are lots of different areas, a lot of different ways that bad stuff can come into our heads. So we need to be cautious in every possible way. So Psalm 119 says, the entrance of thy word brings understanding. So one of the things that we want to do is to allow God's word to come into us. There's a lot of different kinds of knowledge, right? You go to school, learn about accounting. You go to school, learn about marine science, biology, and political science, and communications, and things like that. But then the most important avenue of knowledge is God's word. We want to let God's word enter into our lives to bring understanding. Psalm 119, 105 is a verse many of us know, and we appreciate that. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and what's the rest say? And a light unto my path. God's knowledge gives us the kind of information we need, the things to consider in order to make a good decision. And so, some of these, just an example of this is more day-to-day kind of thing, not so much real heady spiritual thing. But if you want to come from your house to the church, do any of you ever sometimes encounter traffic jams? Sometimes you do, right? There's an accident on a freeway, or there's road work on the freeway. And so what do you have nowadays? You take out your phone and you look at your apps, right? And you find out the way you're going to go, and it tells you whether or not there's a traffic jam. That's light. It's knowledge. That's information. Now, a little bit different from that, I want to throw this out to you. There's a group named Barna Research Group. It's a Christian organization. And David Kinneman, who is the president of that group, came this past hymn conference, and he shared with us a lot of things about the upcoming generations, the millennials, and what is called Generation Z. Generation Z are those currently in high school. And here's one of the things that they said. He said, just one out of many. He said, when they take these polls, surveys of young people, they find out that not recycling things by this young generation is considered by this young generation as a worse sin than viewing pornography. You hear that? Not recycling is a worse sin than viewing pornography. Now, there are a couple of things we need to do with that. The first thing we need to do is to understand that is the mindset. That is the first thing we need to do. And then it gives us a direction. How do we approach that? And how do we approach that? A number of different ways. But having that knowledge is a kind of light. It tells us now that this mindset of the next generation is very different. Of course, some of us understand a generation where chewing gum was a terrible sin, and especially if you chew gum in class, right? And then the next generation came, and we kind of laughed at that. And now we're at another generation, and now what we have to do is open our eyes to see what kind of knowledge does God want to give us. Now, there are different ways of addressing that situation. I won't get into it right now, but just know that that's a kind of knowledge. And of course, there is Bible knowledge. This is the one I love to get into because this is kind of knowledge that does not change. Even the things that we thought were scientific knowledge and truths before have changed over the decades. What our science taught us years ago has now changed. What was supposedly a fact and truth is no longer true. That's kind of scary, isn't it? So you go to the Bible and you get to something now that is stable in its foundation. That does not change. Society is going to change and people are going to change, but is there something solid that we can hang on to that's going to allow us to have security, true security, rather than placing our faith in a shifting value, a shifting standard? This is the Bible knowledge, and this is the kind of knowledge I like to teach, right? What is salvation? How can we know if we're saved? Those are kind of very foundational kind of things. What is sin? What is sinful? So next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. What is sinful? What are things that are missing the mark as far as in God's eyes? So a wonderful metaphor, another wonderful metaphor for this is the candlelight service. The candlelight service. God gives us a light. He extends the candle through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ then reaches out with our candle, and his flame ignites our candle, imparts light to us. And then from there, we can impart the light to the next person. And so if you've ever been in a candlelight service, somebody up front, some leader up front will take the light from the altar and then light up somebody's candle. Then both of them will light two more. And those four people now going to light four more or eight more. And in the beginning, it's very, very slow. But that light then begins to spread rapidly throughout the room. And pretty soon, the whole room is full of light. Doesn't even look like the lights are off. That's just a marvelous thing. So the first blessing of God's light is knowledge. The second blessing is washing. Washing. God's light changes spiritual darkness to spiritual light. So part of this is the ability to identify and confess sins. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it speaks about the importance of not saying that we have not sinned. If anyone says he has not sinned, he is a liar, John says. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that beautiful? All of us are sinners. That's light. There's some people who do not even know that they're sinners. They first need to know that they're sinners. That's light. But what do we do with that sin? Now we can confess it. The knowledge that we can confess it and receive washing, that's light. And God's light comes into our lives. Titus 3:5 says he saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Washing. I love that term, washing. You get that feeling like you come in from a hot, sweaty day. Maybe you've been working in the yard. I remember some projects I used to work on when the area was just all dusty and dirty. You come in and you wash your hands, just brown water comes off your hands. And of course, you take a shower and just all that brown comes off. And you get that soap and wash it off. And after that, you just feel so refreshed and so clean. That's what God wants to do in our lives, to wash us. He wants us to experience it. And we experience it through a clear conscience, through the washing of our conscience. Many of us are aware of this event in our political history of the United States called the Emancipation Proclamation. The Emancipation Proclamation. This is a document that Abraham Lincoln signed. He actually signed it twice. But it is a document that freed all the slaves in the Confederate states, in the states that embraced slavery. And historians will tell you that after that document was signed, even after the war, and the war was won, the Civil War was won, slaves did not know how to act. They didn't know any other reality. And so they continued on in their way. They felt a little comfortable in that way because that's the only world they knew. And it took a while for them to understand what it meant to live in that freedom. And likewise, it may take time for us to really engage and get into the freedom that God gives us. James says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. In the Catholic Church, there's this thing called a confession booth, right? There's a confession booth, and there's this little partition here, and you're there to pour out your heart. And the Catholic priest is there to take that confession that you made, take it to the cross to be forever washed. Now, some people use that as a license to continue, that's all my wash now, I can go get dirty again, right? But, okay, so we know the Bible doesn't say to do that. But the idea of washing you of your sin is very much a part of the light in your life. And you walk in that light, let that light shine. You have forgiveness of sin and a clear conscience. And you have the assurance of God's grace. So the blessings of God's light is, first of all, knowledge. Secondly, it's washing. And thirdly, it's fellowship. Fellowship, write that in. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. It's a short but powerful, powerful, powerful little passage of Scripture. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. What I find fascinating about this verse is we expect God, we expect John to say, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with God. We're ready for that, right? We have fellowship with God. Yes, our relationship has been bridged. But it actually says we have fellowship with one another. What that means is that we cannot actually even have fellowship, true fellowship with each other, even on a horizontal plane, if we're not walking in the light, if both parties are not walking in the light. Both parties have to be walking in the light in order for that true fellowship to happen. So this is kind of a circular thing, circular argument. Fellowship enables the washing, and the washing enables the fellowship. And so that's why we need to be in fellowship and continuing to wash our souls. And we do that by confessing our sins. I have two stories to tell you, kind of contrasting this idea here. I have a good friend named Kent Tokumoto. I see him every so often when he comes to Hawaii because he lives in Japan now. He's a missionary in Japan, teaches in Japan. But we have this great relationship, a really deep relationship, because we spent many, many hours near the University of Hawaii Hamilton Library on that wall where we would sit and we would talk with each other, we would pour out our hearts to each other, we would say what our struggles are, we would say what our physical weaknesses are, what our mental weaknesses are, what our angers are, things we're angry about, what our lusts are, and we would take that fellowship and go deep with each other, and we would pray for each other. And we became really, really deep friends. And though I don't see him for decades now, he's been in Japan, though I don't see him too often, now whenever we connect at a very deep level. But we told each other some very difficult things. Second round. Oh, there's a lot. I thought they were done. I better keep talking. There's a long line over there. I'll give you a second story. There are a bunch of people, a really godly people. These people were going to Bible study and prayer meetings and everything. This is at Kapahulu Bible Church. At that time, they had a series of pastors that came and went, came and went, came and went. And we're sitting in Bible study, and we had prayer meetings, and we're a really spiritual people. And because we were so spiritual, after we were done with our Bible study and prayer, we'd talk stink about the pastor. But our intentions were really good. And after this went on for a long time, I went and said, you know what? I can't just sit here and talk about the pastor that way. I have to talk to the pastor. And these, by the way, were probably very real concerns. They weren't just made up stuff in our head. So I went to the pastor. I said, hey, pastor, I need to talk to you about something and some important things. And so I shared some of these things with the pastor. And after I shared this with him, he said, Stan, you have a lot of gall coming in here and telling me these things. And so he had these boasts that they were trained to raise up to pastor mega churches, and somebody coming in and telling him about these kind of things were really beneath him hearing. And so he basically kicked me out of his office. There are two things that I came away from at that time. The first one was, I will never walk in darkness by not telling people what I know they need to hear. You would think I would have shrunk away from that and said, I'm never going to do that again. But just the reverse happened. I saw the importance of actually talking about this stuff with people that I had, that I might have had a problem with. Real or not, give them a chance to interact with me. That's the first thing. The second thing was, if I'm ever a pastor, if I ever become a pastor, I don't ever want to do what that guy did. I want to be able to sit and I want to be able to listen to whoever, whatever anybody has to say, and seriously consider the things that they have to say. And that has been my view ever since. Now, not everybody views me at that. I've been told sometimes, Stan, you're not approachable. And I'm not sure if I can talk to you about this stuff. People have those views, which is okay. And that's me, just an issue that I have to deal with. But those two represent light and darkness. Darkness in the scope of a Bible study and prayer that we would talk stink about the pastor. And then the pastor kicking me out of his office, totally rejecting all the things that I had to say. The only really thing, that only moment of light that was there was the moment I went to talk to the pastor and said, Pastor, I need to talk to you about something. And I actually turned the light on for that moment. And then everything went dark again. I was really saddened by that situation. And the other story is a story of light, where my friend and I continue to walk in a very, very deep and open fellowship, where we continue to talk about struggles. Blessings of God's light. God's light are knowledge, washing, and fellowship. Where does this all go? It leads to something very, very glorious. If we walk in that light, it leads to something very glorious. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all, with unveiled faces, reflect or contemplate or ponder the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. God's goal in us walking in the light is to impart to you his likeness, his ever-increasing glory. That's his goal. One day, we will live in a kingdom that is full of God's light and full of his glory, not because he forced it on us, but because we as believers said, that's the kind of life I want to live. And Lord, I'm going to walk intentionally here. I'm going to choose you. And in that day in God's kingdom, everyone there will be there because they chose the light. They chose to be there. Now, this is not easy. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and I'm going to speak about something maybe is the hardest thing of all. John chapter 3, verse 19 to 22. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 22. Jesus says, the evil man does not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But the good man comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Jesus tells people to come into the light. You're going to be confronted with your own fear. Fear is going to smack you in the face. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what this is going to do to my relationship. I'm afraid, what if I confront this person and I'm wrong? That's possible. There's a whole bunch of things I made a judgment of in my mind, and I was wrong. There's fear, and so I don't come into the light. But Jesus says, if you come into the light, it will be seen plainly that what you have done has been done through God. And who gets the glory? God gets the glory. Have courage. It takes courage. Do business with God. I'd like us to close our eyes right now. I'm going to ask you a question. Some of you might be thinking, Stan, the Word of God spoke to me today, and I want God's light to shine in my heart. And if that is your thought today, I'm going to keep my eyes open. I'd like you to close your eyes if you can, because I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If it is your